The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Geeks Under the Influence podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of RVA Magazine, Loot Crate, Amazon.com, or their employees. Listener discretion is advised. Fuck off if you don't like it.
Now, here's what sucks. They sent a lot of promotional material for that movie. So I have a hat that says Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. I'm never going to fucking wear that. But they actually sent shit out that says Indiana Jones. I'm like, sweet, with Crystal Skull on there. So fuck that. So,
but it's like,
buy a patch.
X-Men corrected their past mistakes with Days of Future Past. So respect to that. How the fuck are they going to erase that shit movie going into the fifth one? You can't.
Murder Shia LaBeouf.
That's not going to take away being saved by a nuclear blast in a refrigerator.
No, what actually might fix it is killing Shia LaBeouf.
That's what I'm saying.
That would save the world, really.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. His crazy might come in handy in some parts.
He's protecting us from Nazis, apparently.
So I'm down for that. I'm good for that.
Yeah. Sometimes the enemy of your enemy is your friend. That's the thing. So
I never thought of that connection. Like, he was
still a character.
And then he was in character and just like yelling at Nazis.
Where's this leather jacket?
Yeah, right?
Keanu Reeves planned so much for Bill and Ted that he became that character for the rest of his life. It was the same thing with Shia LaDouche.
That's called marijuana.
So. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
And I don't know, man. There was no Ted and John Wick 2, bro. It was just straight murder. Straight murder.
I still need to see John Wick
you
2.
You do.
I'm so excited.
Same here. It's so good.
Yeah.
Once
I'm the only one that's seen it. No. Anthony's with me. He's seen it.
The movie's fucking it's like gun porn masturbation.
Seriously, it's just
I like Roots's review. Oh yeah.
It was just that good.
Just every little detail.
One word review. Whoa. Whoa. Yeah. We are not talking about John Wick. We are not talking about Keanu Reeves. We are talking about all things Indiana Jones.
Yes, we are.
A series of movies that belongs in a museum. In my personal opinion, the greatest adventure movie of all time. Not maybe necessarily my favorite action movie of all time, but
adventure.
As far as adventure movies go, it's the be-all, end-all. It's everything. So that's what we were to talk about on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, episode 94. Getting so close. So thank you guys for watching and listening. Welcome.
Geeks Under the Influence.
Yay! I'm so excited about this episode. This is one of the things that we talked about doing an episode on when we wrote our first list of episodes at the beginning of the podcast. And we're finally getting to it around episode 100 of Geeks Under the Influence. So
there's a lot of things like that are going to pop up like
that. Oh, yeah. Definitely. But I'm glad that we finally got to it when the audio sounds good, when we got video going, when we've got, you know, good panelists to be on an episode all about this shit. So I'm more than happy to get this shit started. I'm Mike the Hobbit Bickett, host of Geeks Under the Influence. You can find me on Twitter at Mike Bickett. Or you can also find me on Trivia Nights at Wonderland and Fallout. Fallout is every first and third Monday. Wonderland is every second and fourth Tuesday. So come join the fun, 8 to 10. And it's always a blast. Nerdtastic and drunken debauchery abounds. So check it out. And next to me on my left is the sexual chocolate. The giant rolling rock to my running the fuck out of a cave as fast as possible.
I was going to say the Brody to your Indy, but...
Yeah. My short round.
Yeah.
Really? You're short and round. How the fuck is that me?
Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver is here.
No time for love, Hobbit.
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Not when we're podcasting.
Not when we're podcasting.
No. So, as always, thank you so much for joining. I know that you're as big a fan of Indiana Jones as I am. So,
Yeah.
we're all of the age where we loved the shit out of this when we were kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like our thing along with Star Wars. It was like around the same time that we just discovered
that was
all the shit.
The trilogies, man. Like, you'd watch one and then, like, you'd have to watch, first two until Last Crusade came out and later on.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And next to Lowdown Brown is the guy that Indy would punch if he saw him.
Hell no, man.
Yeah, he would.
The German, the enemy of most of the of the good Indiana Jones movies.
The only Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Mr. Groots is here.
Indeed.
Indeed.
That's right.
This is a pun, kind of.
That was
a really bad play.
That was a stretch. Yeah.
That was a Hobbit joke, is what that was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Rocking a mic that was borrowed to us by Mr. Dirk Laguna. We came back from Monster Mania missing a mic. So
that's my old practice mic.
Whoa. I gave you back that mic.
No, you gave me back the mic that you borrowed. That's not it. What No.
You lost a different mic?
During the con. Came back with one less mic, or it's in somebody's bag, so we're trying to figure it out. But okay. In the meantime, Dirk was nice enough to lend us a mic that is Crump's old practice mic, apparently.
So I sound amazing.
You sound you sound velvety as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
You sound better than you should.
That should really smell like tobacco.
That's and bourbon. Good.
Yeah, tobacco and bourbon. That's about right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next up is the Danwich. Dan the Man is here.
What's up, buddy?
We were talking about thematic beers that we'll get into on the half, as always, but it was harder than I expected to come up with a thematic beer for Indiana Jones.
It was. I did a little bit of searching on this one. I know I texted Lowdown a few times on it, too. One of them that I initially thought of doing, he was like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah, dude. We would not, like, walk out of here.
Well, the idea wasn't to bring in, like, the whole amount, you know. Do, yeah, like, shot glasses or something like that. Maybe bring a flask. Yeah. So
one I was thinking of that would be perfect for Indiana Jones, but then we'd have to drink it the whole time, is Rolling Rock.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Rolling Rock's not a horrible beer, though.
It's not, but it's, you know.
But no longer made in the glass lined tanks.
And correct.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
Oh, really? I was thinking Snake Venom, but I opted not to do it.
Yeah.
It's 67%.
Ugh.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's higher than liquor. It's higher than the bourbon I'm drinking here currently.
There's
in the house.
Beer?
Yeah, he's got it.
I don't have it. No. I never picked it up.
Is that like proof or percentage?
That's percentage alcohol.
So it's 120-something proof.
Correct.
Ain't right.
Well, no, it's not right. No. See, here's the interesting thing, because like you have to buy it around here. You have to buy it in like Asian marketplaces and stuff.
Whoa,
like,
whoa.
Is there a code word you have to say to get this?
Venom.
You don't have to buy that at the liquor store?
No.
No, you got to do that like in a Half Baked, where you got to show your ass to the tenant in order
black
to get the
ass.
Fight.
Yeah. Or do I say that to the German? Or do I say nine to the German?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always say nine to the German.
Always say nine.
Next one up on the panel is The Velvet Hammer, rejoining after not being on for a few episodes. The Sexual Chocolate on Vocal End. Mr. Crump Crumpler is here.
It is good to be back and not bring any actual content, but it is good to be back here.
I think you will have a couple things to say
about Indiana Jones. I'm just going to crack on you the entire time.
I mean, I'm good with that too, but I figured that you might have some feelings about Indiana Jones.
Oh, many feelings, but I don't really express my feelings.
Which is great for an audio podcast.
I don't know, you kind of did like a couple weeks ago.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
That was more like 5 days ago.
Yeah, like 5 days
was
ago.
It five?
Yeah,
it
feels like it was longer.
Okay. Mr. Curmudgeon, Mr. Velvet Hammer, is now engaged to his vegan reggae-listening girlfriend, or now fiancé, I guess.
This, you know, dirt-worshipping, pork-eating motherfucker.
Yeah. Meat, potatoes, cigars, and bourbon meets IPAs, reggae, and veganism in an unholy union that will bring about the apocalypse.
Yeah, I feel like it'll make both sides stronger. Like, it's like, you know, it's like Preacher. They're going to have this awesome fucking...
But she's hot and more curmudgeonly than me.
She is kind of curmudgeonly.
It's true, but she does it. She's fun when she does it.
That's so true. Yeah.
Wait till y'all leave the house.
That is not my problem. It's on you.
So you're enjoying your avocado salads these days, yeah?
Fuck no, I make my own food.
It is true. I've been hanging over there many times, and he makes like 8 sausages, and she comes home and makes like a vegan pizza. Yeah. And we're just munching on sausage. It's great.
Yeah, we're always munching on sausage.
Yeah, I was waiting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you kind of set him up with that one.
I was, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Moil free, baby.
Ooh. Now with 20% less moil. But big congrats to Crump. We went out to Strange Ways and drank a couple beers. And
I drank more than a couple. I got shitstormed.
I believe it. I left before it got too willy-nilly over there.
Yeah, I did not maintain.
No?
Why
no.
should you, though?
Glad I had the next day off.
Yeah. I couldn't make that. I had work. I couldn't, you know.
It's okay. Yeah. I know you don't love me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not true. And someone else had to keep working as well. Like your jobs are more important than me.
They what day are. Was this? Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got out of work at 3:20 in the morning.
I don't feel your pain.
Jesus Christ.
Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah, I was cooking corned beef and cabbage for hours and hours for the entire restaurant.
Which isn't even really traditional.
Oh, true. I know it's not.
If you have St. Patrick's Day isn't traditional. The first St. Patrick's Day was done in like New York or Boston or something. It wasn't Ireland.
Yeah.
No, there are more people here in the United States to celebrate it than like
their population.
Exactly.
Yeah, than the population. Well,
there are more Irish Americans than there are actually people in Ireland. So yes, there's that.
And that's just sad. Can we ship them back?
They still don't have enough potatoes, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say this.
Oh,
well, you'd have to cut me pretty much in half, but no, I'm sure you guys would be okay with
that. Like in the old boats, the old slave ships, instead of like the bricks that they did to like balance it out, we just fill it with potatoes instead, and then ship them back, and then we're good, right? Is that?
I mean, that makes sense to me.
I mean, that works.
We get salt from the water to work with the potato, and just add that and some butter.
Just throw a bag of potatoes over the side to blanch in salt water, and then you can bake them. You're good.
I perceive the Irish much as the townspeople did in Blazing Saddles, and I won't quote the line.
Fair.
That's another episode anyway.
All right, so moving away from his hatefulness, onto our last panelist of the evening. Mr. Hunter is here.
What's up?
Fuck you,
Hunter.
Fuck you.
Fuck you,
Hunter.
It was nice enough to help procure the microphone this evening, so I do appreciate that.
Yeah, it all kind of worked out.
I do want to point out, you know that's a twist top, right?
Oh, that was a regular one. So.
See the little thing right there?
Was it paying attention?
Sorry. I just watched you struggle with that. I just wanted to calm out on it. That's
I'm
all.
Trying to be quiet so I don't nail the fucking table.
But like, that's a pop-off.
There you go.
That's twist top.
I'm used to the other one. Sorry.
I just want to fuck with you. That's
man,
all.
Asshole.
Yeah, pretty much. Like when you let me believe you never listened to Nirvana's Unplugged the whole ride back from a HorrorCon.
I just want to hear it, so.
I would have gladly played it.
Well, I didn't know if you were going to get tired and want to put something else in, so I was like, wow, I've never heard this album before.
He did that to me, seriously.
Nice. No. I mean, sometimes you got to hear Nirvana.
Yeah, but
you can
this is the same motherfucker that decided to lock the goddamn windows.
He did the same thing to me.
Exactly. So, no, I don't feel that bad.
Was he farting the entire time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
But you wouldn't pay
attention. Did you turn the heat up while doing
No, because I don't want to be uncomfortable.
No, he just went slightly.
You make yourself uncomfortable to make other people more uncomfortable.
You just slightly hit the lock button on the windows, and then all of a sudden you just start to fill the car burning with the smell of his fart, and then you go down, roll down the window, and he just starts busting out laughing. Asshole.
Wait, so you activated the child locks, basically?
Yeah. No, I have a lock for the windows on my side.
If you're not paying attention, he just does it so slightly, and then fills the car up.
Such a sweetheart, really.
See, I personally, like, yeah, I've kisses. Got dual climate control in mind, so I would have totally cranked up the other side, too. But that's just me.
I like this man.
Now, before we continue on to Indiana Jones, I got to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, our longest sponsor, Amazon.com. If you go to GYpodcast.com, there's a link right on the main page that says Amazon Affiliate. If you go through that link to Amazon.com, anything you purchase through that link, we get a little bit of a cut. Wait,
clear your cookies.
What's that?
Clear your cookies.
Clear your cookies. Then go through the link. And then once you're at the link, you might as well bookmark it so you can just go through that link every single time. Anything you purchase, it costs the same to you, but we get a cut. It's a way to support us without spending any money to support us. You get all the shit that you were going to order anyway, and we get to continue doing this thing. We need to buy a new microphone, so help us out.
And, yes. Check with everybody first, and then buy a new microphone.
So we need to buy like 3 new microphones.
Yes, you do. Yes,
What do you mean, clear your cookies?
Your cookies will automatically route to Amazon without giving...
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Good to know.
That is.
That's a little more you know segment of GYI. I hope we
still got the money I spent. Sorry.
But also, I want to give it up to Loot Crate. A number of us have been buying Loot Crate well before they were sponsors of the podcast. And every month, just about, there's always at least a couple things that I'm, if not the entire crate, that I'm stoked to shit to get. And if you want to go through the link on our sponsors page at GYpodcast.com, you have to go through the link for us to get credit. But you save 3 when you sign up for a crate, and you'll save $3 off your first crate. It's another way to support Geeks Under the Influence and also get a gift to yourself every month. Just a little, you know, there's action figures or books or almost always a t-shirt, all sorts of cool shit. I've always been very happy with my crate from Loot Crate. So check it out through the link at GYpodcast.com.
This month's is Overwatch, Predator, and X-Men.
Yeah, Primal for March is the one we're looking at.
Pretty stoked for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
I think tomorrow they should start coming out.
It says I'll get mine between 21st and, like, 25th or something.
Yeah, usually
I think mine's supposed to be there around the 23rd.
Yeah, it's like 20th to 25th usually.
Mine's already shipped.
So is this Overwatch stuff from the video game Overwatch?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, since y'all don't play that game, I'll take your toys.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't. I have no idea. I've never played the game. I care about Predator and X-Men.
Game is addictive as hell.
That's actually a really nice thing with it, too, is I oftentimes, with people coming over for the episode, there's stuff that I don't care about that I got in Loot Crate, and it's just like little gifts to your friends, and, I mean, who doesn't love doing that shit, too? So, or you save it until you know your friend's having a birthday, and then you give it to them then, and then you saved yourself a few bucks on a birthday present.
You
so.
Cheap bastard.
Yep.
Whatever, they're still going to fucking like it, all right?
Absolutely.
God damn it.
So, on to the episode. We're talking Indiana fucking Jones.
Woo! Fuck yes.
And I can't think of a better way to start than to start with Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was not Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It was Raiders.
No, just Raiders.
Just Raiders.
Because it wasn't initially considered to be a series. It was just a one-off kind of love letter that George Lucas put together for his love of old, like, 30s and 40s pulp, like, action movies or adventure movies from the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and even getting into that, I still scratch my head and kind of wonder how things would be different, because I don't even know if they would have gone past the first movie if Tom Selleck actually would have been cast.
Just about to bring that up.
All right, because, I like him as an actor. He's a solid actor and everything, but as Indiana Jones, I can't see it.
No.
I cannot see it.
Harrison Ford's run in the early 80s is goddamn amazing.
Oh, just phenomenal.
Blade Runner, that, like, he picked the right fucking movies. Like,
Indiana P.I. Indiana Jones in a Hawaiian shirt. He's like punching Nazis.
It's interesting.
And that's why he turned it down, because he was too busy recording the show. So it's just, like, I can't. Indiana Jones with a mustache just seems so wrong.
He would have had to shave that shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and have you seen him clean shaven? He looks like odd. Worse than I do clean shaven. So,
Does he look worse than Sam Elliott without a mustache?
Oh, no,
that's pretty horrible. That's fucking horrible.
It's 50-50.
Lucas didn't want to get him because that would have been the third thing in a row with Lucas and Ford.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well,
from American Graffiti to Star Wars, then to he didn't want to do it again.
Yeah, but he had a very small role in American Graffiti. It doesn't even really count. It was like a street race.
He didn't want to seem tied in together with him.
Okay.
Briefly, speaking on Tom Selleck, he did actually get into a little bit of adventure roles with The Lasseter and High Road to China. But
don't forget Quickly Down Under.
Yeah, I was waiting for that
They do
Mr. Baseball.
They pale in comparison to Indiana Jones, obviously. Well,
and one thing we'll talk about a little bit later is some of the knockoff adventure movies, which I know Anthony's super excited about.
Yeah.
Just real quick, while we're still talking about Tom Selleck, has anybody seen Runaway with Gene Simmons as the bad guy?
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the freaking sci-fi.
I haven't seen that one
little,
yet.
Like,
if you get a chance, check it out. It's awesomely awful, but yeah. Gene Simmons, bad guy, killer robots.
Dude.
Oh, I'm in. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
With Indiana Jones, that was the first movie that I saw of the Indiana Jones movies, was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
And I had not seen anything like it before. Now, I had, as a child, had never seen some of the, like, 30s and 40s adventure movies that a lot of this comes from, where there's, you know, quicksand and swinging on vines and, like, you know, not less fighting Nazis in the 30s, I think. But it had this kind of campy, pulp, comic booky kind of feel to it that I had not seen in anything.
Right.
And that's really what connected me. Was Raiders really the first one for you guys? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was definitely the first one for me, but it also shows that Lucas is obsessed with a couple of things. He's obsessed kind of with the occult when it comes to these movies in specific. And then also connecting the Nazis to movies seems to really be kind of a theme for him, too. Could be his, you know, the fact that he was raised Jewish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally, right?
The German has something to say about this.
Yeah, but but there's a lot of overtone like that through the first couple of Star Wars movies, even before Indiana Jones came out. And then seeing them kind of roll that into a whole other franchise was just kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Well, he did make the Empire look awesome and amazing, and they were always the ones I was rooting for, so yeah, come on.
Fucking Germans, Jesus Christ.
No, Raiders was the first one for me. At a young age, like, there was a lot, all the adventure scenes I really loved, but when I got older, I came to appreciate the movie as a whole versus, like, not, like, getting bored with the filler that's in there for the story, you know what I mean?
I know this is going to be surprising y'all, but I actually didn't see Raiders in the theater. I know y'all always pick on me being an old motherfucker.
You are an old motherfucker.
But my dad had a laser, one of the early laser players, and a projection screen, so I didn't see it in the theater.
And he gave you a map, and then he hid the laser disc somewhere in the house. And
exactly.
You
but that's how I fell in love with that movie, was just watching it there. He had his own kind of theater room, and shit, I watched that movie at least 5 times a year the first time I watched it. It was just addictive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember going to see it in the drive at the drive-in, to be honest with you. That was something that my parents actually, they mm-hmm. got all of us in the back of the station wagon when I lived up in Jersey and took us over to see that. And I had never seen anything like it. They thought I was going to freak out because I was like 4. And like I sat there and just was like cheering, you know?
Well, the Indiana Jones movies, Star Wars, and Conan was like on a constant rotation at my house mm-hmm. When I was a kid. That was just, crush your enemies.
That's just good parenting.
And hear the lamentation of their women. And then no ticket. And then, and then the force will be with you always. It was just like this trifecta of like adventure movies for kids. And I couldn't have asked for a better series of movies to grow up watching. I mean, especially what I loved with Last Crusade is when it showed young Indiana Jones. And around the time that came out was I wasn't too far off from the young Indiana Jones age. And it was like this feeling of like, okay, so he was just a badass from fucking childhood, apparently.
And this is the Lucas before he decided things had to be kid-friendly. So he just made good movies. He didn't have to add a Jar Jar or the shit we'll talk about with Crystal Skull, shit like that. Like, there was no holds bar. He just pretty much did what he wanted, and we fell in love with these movies, which makes it even more confusing with the prequels and with Crystal Skull, why he had to change and make things safe for kids. So, yeah.
True.
Now, Raiders of the Lost Ark, we'll get into some of the, like, deep cut aspects of that once we kind of cover the first 3 movies, but... The only 3 movies.
Yeah. He's not getting that, I don't think.
The second movie was definitely a hard right turn from Raiders of the Lost Ark as far as tone. Temple of Doom was a lot campier. Like a lot.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of good things about that one, though, too. Number one, obviously, it predates, actually, Raiders of the Lost Ark. From a general chronology standpoint, it takes place roughly about a year before the events of Raiders of the Lost Ark does.
Yeah, it's a prequel.
Yeah, so he's right. It's totally a prequel, so it's in line with that whole Lucas doing the movies out of order a little bit. But I love it kind of on its own merits. It's a complete departure from what we've seen in other ones.
I have a love affair with that movie. It's not my favorite of the trilogy.
Yeah, however, but you're also deep in love with Dick Tracy, too. So,
hey, that movie's great.
Really? The thing about...
Only because of Pacino.
Funny. Temple of Doom was the pulpiest of the three. Okay? It was the cheesiest of the three, and it was the most outrageous. But it was fucking enjoyable through and through. Even, they went more extreme. Like, Raiders was, as sort of serialized... a story as it was with the action and everything, it still was relatively believable in the sense that like he could survive this action and this thing can be done. Maybe not like the whole Ark of the Covenant, like magic shit, but
if you close your eyes, then you won't be sucked into the death box.
Right.
Like that's the, what I learned from Raiders. But, that was like the moral of the story at the end.
But he's punching people and he's, riding around chasing truck and he goes under the truck, but you know what? All these things are plausible somewhere in the realm of reality. Now, Temple of Doom and later on Crystal Skull go way out.
Yeah, a little
but
bit.
But they're still fucking fun. So
the thing that Temple of Doom did for me is make me appreciate Karen Allen in Number One that much more.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Fuck, no shit, yeah. Because that
really?
Woman...
She wasn't annoying.
Lady only here because she humping director.
Didn't that end up becoming... George Lucas's wife after that?
Spielberg's
wife, sorry.
I like how we all know that.
She was are they still married?
Probably.
I think so.
She was horrifying.
Why would she leave?
She was such a terrible choice as a character. Like, and nothing against the actress.
And bad. Just
no,
badly
everything,
written.
No, everything against
yeah,
the actress.
Yeah, well, I kind of hate the actress for the character that she portrayed. Yes. But that was all shit that was written down and she was told to say. Like she was supposed to be a whiny little like princess the entire time.
But in the first one, you have the same thing, and it's just not as fucking annoying as in Temple of Doom.
No,
like,
she wasn't a princess.
She was a drunken badass.
She was hard drinking. Heart, like she was a strong woman character.
Yeah, she was a super
strong. She still is crying out for Indy to help her, and it just didn't seem as...
Yeah, when she's
crying at the snakes, that was more of a, I'm the only person that can help you, motherfucker.
Yeah, and the only time that she cried for him to help her is when, like, he was the only one that could help her, and then he was like, no, fuck you, they'll know I'm here if I save you, and she was like, you're a dickbag, I fucking hate you. Whereas Blondie McGee in Temple of Doom was just like, there's bugs in my nails and boo, like the whole time.
Speaking of bugs, that's the only scene that fucked with me on Temple of Doom was that whole dinner scene.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that was my favorite.
Oh, that
man,
was
as a
so
kid?
Great. That was a great scene.
No, because he killed a giant spider. Mike's like, he's eating a spider.
He's like, what? You're not hungry?
Like, no, I'm not hungry. What was really great, actually, was
seeing the difference between what was being eaten at the one end of the table versus what they were eating on the other end of the table.
Truth.
It's like, aside from the chilled monkey brains that they had for dessert, like, Indy wasn't eating any of the crap that they were having. He didn't have the bugs for, like, appetizers. He didn't have snake surprise. You know, that wasn't anywhere on his plate.
The snake surprise is what fucks me up. It's like, I don't have to, like, I don't want to, like, chase my food under the table to get it. Like, the snakes were alive. They were, like, escaping.
They weren't even snakes. They were eels.
Like,
that's the interesting thing.
I've never gone to brunch and had to, like, chase after my Bloody Mary. Like, yeah, it's usually where I put it, and then it's fine.
It stays there.
It's really great because it actually speaks to the research they did for what people actually eat in other cultures of the world. I love that about that scene.
That was definitely exaggerated as fuck, though.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say.
Have you ever seen like some of the stuff that's on like the Travel Channel, whatever? When they have people are eating bugs in like the streets of China,
probably
looked at India and stuff.
The history of India, and they looked at the worst food they've ever eaten. They were like, "We'll just put that all on one table at the same time."
Yeah.
apparently, there's like a beetle that if you pull the butt end off of it, there's peanut butter, and then you can slurp that off.
You know you like beetle butt.
Beetle butt peanut butter is my favorite brand. Beats Peter Pan's pants off every time.
He has that at second breakfast.
Yes. That's my 11sies.
Now, we brought it up a little bit in the 80s episode, but yeah, Temple of Doom was definitely a lot more hardcore than I guess parents were expecting going into it. So,
one thing I wanted to touch on.
Helped develop PG-13.
PG-13. It was not the first PG-13. That was...
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was one of the major, like...
Factors in creating that rating.
Yeah, because a lot of kids came out fucked up after seeing that movie.
Well, Kalima! We're like, ripping dude's hearts out.
Yeah, and it's still beating. It's so glorious. But then also the scene, like, in the actual... goodness, where am I thinking about? The part where they have the kids enslaved and everything.
In the, like, Kali temple.
Yeah, in the temple.
At least they were working.
Actually, he has the fight with, like, the big, like, chief person who actually gets, like,
the end
sucked
boss.
In. Yeah. Who, ironically, the guy who played that character, he's, other than Harrison Ford, is the only person to be in all three Indiana Jones movies. Other than Harrison Ford.
Was he the scimitar dude also? Or like in the
first
one?
So in the first one, he was the guy that got chopped up by the propeller.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same guy? Same guy.
The big English wrestler?
Shit. Yeah, the big like English wrestler. And then he plays a very small part.
They gave him bronze tan and put him in temple.
And then he plays a very small part in The Last Crusade. There's actually the scene where they're getting on the Zeppelin and the Gestapo comes.
Was he the guy with no ticket?
No, he was not the guy with no ticket. He was the guy that was with the guy with no ticket when they're walking up to, because he's like a foot taller than the other guy.
Not that any excuse to rewatch it, but I'm definitely going to have to fucking check that shit out now.
Yeah. That is cool. That's a nice little GY fact.
And I like that you phrased it in all three Indiana Jones movies.
Yes. All three.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all that were made, apparently.
That is correct.
Correct.
Yeah. He's one of the aliens in... No, never.
Oh, God, no.
There is the third movie, which the older I get and the more I watch this trilogy, the more that is starting to slowly kind of overtake some of the other movies. Like,
three is my favorite.
Three is great.
Raiders is still my favorite, but it's overtaken Temple.
It goes back and forth. Yeah,
The Last Crusade is just so goddamn good.
It is. And you had Sean Connery. Come on, man.
Well, and I looked at I was looking at dialogue for Making a Drunken Scene that we're going to do later. It's a lot more dialogue driven than either of the previous two. Right. Because you have the dynamic between the father and the son, and like the son not really feeling like he's living up to his father's legacy and all that shit, which a lot of us have some sort of like understanding of, or at least recognize it enough to get a good feel on it.
Can I just say, perfect fucking casting, River Phoenix as young Indy.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah, right.
Like, seriously, like, he somehow was like, how do you do a young Indy? And he had it fucking down pat.
And it's so great. Like, we talked earlier a little bit about his whole thing with snakes, you know, for him to bring in and be like, when he's first introduced and he's like, it's only a snake. And then you actually get to see why he ultimately becomes so petrified of him.
No, but here's the thing, though. Like, no, I love that whole sequence. I loved what they did. But I have never had a day, one day when I was a kid, that created the rest of my life and what I stood for. Like,
that's why you're not Indiana Jones.
First off, it's like, it's the first time it's like, it belongs in a museum. I got to save things to put in a museum. He gets the hat. He gets the whip. He gets the cut on his face. He gets scared of snakes. All of that happens in a matter of like 22 minutes. Then all that shit happens.
When he's part of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Which is just...
I feel that your clown story at the circus envelops your entire life after that.
Busted. That didn't turn me short. That didn't make me mansplain to everyone, not just women, like men, women, everyone that I know mansplain everything. Like, it's not because of clowns. That is one major aspect of my life.
Yeah, I think it's the everything boils down to that one point.
Well, it's that and also a spider crawling in your mouth.
Yes.
That, as you were young. And now you don't like
that's
spiders.
My snakes is exactly. Is spiders, yeah. So I didn't fall into a snake.
Well, you got spiders and clowns, so it's too fun.
Man, I had a bad spider experience. It didn't make me any more afraid of them.
Well, that's because you're a real man. That's because you're a real man.
Yeah, I think you did just call him a pussy. That's
pretty
cool.
Dan, I said was, story. Actually. When I was a kid, I was trying to rescue an ancient artifact from some grave robbers, and I fell into a train car full of spiders, and it just fucked me up ever since.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up with one on my face, so you have no excuse.
No, wait. He had one in his
crawled in my mouth.
Mouth.
Yeah.
His mouth.
No, mine was literally about right here.
No, so in mouth beats on face. Shut up.
A fucking wolf spider crawled into my mouth.
No, it's a wolf spider, too.
Okay, yeah. In mouth beats on face. What are we not understanding here?
All I did
by the way, that's the name of the episode is In Mouth Beats on Face.
There we go.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It always writes itself.
There it is. Yeah.
We lost our female listenership again.
They stopped listening many episodes ago.
Don't care.
But I think Last Crusade, Sean Connery was absolutely fucking brilliant as Senior.
Oh, it was perfect.
He was great because you saw some of the ingenuity that you got with Indiana Jones, but it was in this much more relaxed kind of like educated way where he wasn't as Indiana Jones was always that like accidentally doing it right.
Yeah.
Whereas Sean Connery was always intentional with like the umbrella with the birds to like fuck up the plane and shit. Like, and he was just so casual about it. Like, yep, just killed a fucking Nazi pilot. Fuck it. You know, just like not giving a shit.
Yeah, but you also see where like Indiana Jones's, respect really for other people kind of comes from too. you know, because like his father, number one, I mean, tried to teach him independence apparently, but like, Indiana was more of like a, you see his abandonment issues.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you also see that like when he breaks the vase over his head. You're like, oh, yeah, it's like, I'm okay. It's like, oh, thank God, it's a fake. He's talking about the vase the entire time.
It's also, I think, it's Sean Connery's best role. Like, as much as I love him, I loved him as Bond. I really loved him as Bond.
I thought he was great in that Thief movie with what's her fuck?
Fucking kill yourself. Fucking kill yourself.
Called Entrapment.
No, In the Name of the Rose, he had some good roles, but as Dr. Jones, as Jones Sr., he was perfect.
I don't know. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was a fantastic
film. You just want to die today, don't you?
Well, you know, he retired because of that.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Because it was horrible.
No, I was going to say, I agree with Groots. I think the back-to-back, because right before that is Untouchables. And he's fucking badass Untouchables.
Awesome.
And there's such different characters from Untouchables to playing Indy's dad. And fucking, he knocked both those roles out of the
fucking
park. And
then right after that, wasn't it Hunt for Red October?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn, so, that's true.
I love all these movies.
That was the zone.
All three of those movies are fantastic, but I think his portrayal in Crusade is my favorite role that he's done.
I will say, yeah, personal favorite role, yes, but best role ever done, that's, yeah, that's questionable.
I don't know. Touchables is pretty gotcha.
Yeah, I was going to say, he yeah, won an Academy Award
just
for what
like
he did.
Just like a wop.
Bring a knife to a gunfight.
Get out of here, you dirty daggle.
Bastard.
They put see, it's writing like that that just makes my heart swell.
Before we go to break, we talked a little bit briefly about the woman in Temple of Doom, his love interest. But there were three distinctly different love interests in the three Indiana Jones movies. And
good boy.
I want to talk about, like, Marion Ravenwood is the first one. And she, as we talked about, is a badass, drinks dudes under the table, can throw a punch, can mostly handle it herself, but isn't afraid to ask for help when necessary, which is a cool fucking, like, protagonist female character. And then there's the rest.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this about Willie. One of the coolest scenes in the movie is the opening sequence where
that was
and
fun.
And I know Spielberg was trying to do like a musical number as like an homage to like old cinema, but that was a great scene. And that whole opening sequence with Lao She and, you know, in that restaurant and getting out, like, I fucking love that part of the movie so hard.
The opening scene in Temple is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a great opening to a movie.
But there's an easy split point where you could have like ditched the chick, and then it was just like a buddy cop thing with Short Round, you know, for the rest of the movie, and it would have been great.
Yeah, and they could have.
Like, she didn't do anything important except like, we are going to die, and she's like, I have to touch bugs to save you, yeah, and then, like, that's it.
He could have romanced like an Indian princess. That would have been hot as fuck.
Yeah,
absolutely, been so much better.
Yeah, Willie was fucking terrible and almost ruined that movie for me. Luckily, they ripped a heart out of a chest and it caught on fire, and I was like, okay, I'm back in.
Yeah. They almost put her into the lava.
I'd say that, yeah, she kind of ruined the movie, but for me, it was like almost like Short Round kept me kind of intact because he was just fucking hilarious.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
We already did that joke earlier.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it.
But no, like, throughout the whole movie, he's just constantly like just making these jokes that keep me.
Well, see, and he was in great movies back to back too. Well, so he did that, and then he did Goonies.
But he played the same fucking character in my head canon. It's the same kid,
pretty much.
Yeah,
That's the
he had gadgets. He just had gadgets in the second one instead of like blocks for his feet to drive.
Or do like that was his dad, and then his dad moves to Astoria and like raises a family, and then like his son like ends up being a ghost. Goonie.
Has anybody here seen the? It was very short lived, but the Clerks animated series.
Yes.
A Randall. There's a shout out to Temple of Doom where Randall plays this game, and they bring him in, and pretty much it's all the kids from fucking Temple of Doom building shit. Yeah, it's pretty fucking awesome.
Nice. I don't remember that episode. The anime.
It's like episode 3 or 4. Really? But yeah, it's where Randall and all his ex girlfriends become lesbians.
Yeah. All right, I remember that episode.
On that kids cartoon.
And then, of course, we have the third,
Elsa. Nazi.
But she was the hottest.
Austrian.
Truth.
Austrian Nazi, by the way.
I got to say Marion for me.
You thought she was hot in the movie that doesn't exist, though. That's where you thought she was hot in.
No, she was. She looked like a.
She was wearing mom pants in that one.
Yeah, she looked like she's like, I have some coupons for that. You know, that's kind of. But no, like in the first one, yeah, she beats out Elsa for me.
Nah, I go with Elsa. No.
I do. I do love darker haired women, but I gotta go with
her. Personality and attitude are cooler than Elsa, but if you're just looking at a snapshot, Elsa.
Big surprise! The fucking German likes the Nazi.
No! Don't get me wrong. I have been ruined for blondes. You know. By my past,
did you date a woman that turned out to only be dating you so she could get a book to get like an artifact to Hitler?
No, she fucking divorced me. So fuck that bitch. Right. But I do prefer brunettes. However, Elsa still.
But here's the thing about Elsa. Elsa slept with his dad as well. All right.
Yeah.
If that doesn't screw things up at all.
Like I said, I'm looking at a snapshot. 1, 2, 3.
If you're just looking at so you just read Playboy for the articles. Okay.
Well, I'm going to say is that I'm not indie, so I don't give a fuck who she fucked. That's not related to me. I don't care.
Right. It is a little weird to be sloppy seconds with your dad, though.
But we're not indie. It doesn't matter.
Marion also had Bill Murray chasing after her.
I was going to bring up Scrooge, but good job.
So, yeah, Bill Murray. Always go with Bill Murray.
And did she sleep with...
If you're going to sloppy seconds or pre-sloppy seconds, like be the first of the second, then, I mean, Bill Murray adjacent I'm fine with that. That's
Bill Murray
cool.
And Indy. I mean, it's...
Hold on.
I'll take those Eskimo brothers all day.
Her vagina has some prestige, is what you're saying.
Are we forgetting about Donald Sutherland and Animal House?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. He did beat that ass, didn't he?
That's not taken away from the prestige. Her vagina has seen things. And like,
some great acting credits have been in her.
I would sit down, like, story time at the library, like, hey, Marion Ravenwood's vagina, tell me a story. And just like...
just go...
That's a huge IMDb list that have been in her vagina.
No, but I think Hobbit's got a point though. I think if you have to pick any of the three, it's got to be Marion.
It's a no brainer.
It's a no brainer for me too, because number one, yeah, she's got the smarts. I'm not even convinced really that Elsa has the smarts in the third one, because even though she claims to be a doctor, she's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, she wasn't a doctor. Oh, yeah. There's no way in hell.
No.
Well, there's that, like, she's leading Indy to kind of make the decisions because he's the one that's going to lead them to the Grail. So like, I kind of see her kind of taking a back roll a little bit to let him kind of figure the shit out, and also protecting her cover at the same time. That being said, still not as smart as Marion Ravenwood.
No.
Marion Ravenwood is the coolest, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
the question was, or my statement was, who is just the hottest by virtue of
best in bed I'd go by, and that would still be Marion.
Yeah, Marion would definitely be best in bed.
I would probably agree with you, because she's a fighter.
Mm-hmm. And a drunk.
Yeah.
And she's got something going on actually in the noggin too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
more creative.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so Marion is definitely the one to go to, but we're not kicking Elsa out of bed. Nobody wants to take Willie home.
No, she's got a ball gag.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No ball gag all then.
No, she's
totally
still
fine.
Got that nasty 80s hair.
You can take care of that.
Like a straight iron.
Yes. Just like, nah, bitch. Be still.
Oh, baby. No, let's totally go to bed. But in just a sec, hold on. Just like straight ironing the shit.
Fucking 80s hair. Ugh.
That's called like 1990 foreplay, where you just like clean out all the fucking waves from the 80s. So those are the ladies of Indiana Jones. And I think that's a good way to lead off onto our break. We're going to take a short break, talk about some of our friends of the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we're drinking, do a little drunken scene action, and get into the real meat of Indiana Jones. So stick around. We will be right back.
In a world dominated by big-budget game development companies, there is only one place for the independent game designer to turn. Pixel Fest, April 7th through 9th in Norfolk, Virginia at the Slover Library. 235 East Plum Street in Norfolk, Virginia. Come out and join us for DevCon, Game Jam, VRK, Vendors, Smash 4 Tournament, Minecraft EDU, Starship Horizons, Art and Design Class, Tech Classes, Arcades, Indie Games, Tabletop Games, and a Trading Card Game Showdown. Go to pixelfest.org for more information. This con is free.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the GUI podcast. This is Nick from Instant Replay Live. I get plugged here a lot, and I'm being allowed to do it myself this time. I'm going to plug myself as much as I can. You can check out our Twitter at INST Replay Live. I'm going to plug myself again. I'm plugging myself in front of all these guys right here. You can find us on YouTube if you search for Instant Replay Live, or youtube.com/C/InstantReplayLive, or at InstantReplayLive.com. We do video games, we do tabletop role-playing games, and we do reviews and all kinds of other stuff. So check us out.
Totsky from the YMM podcast. Big fans of the Geeks Under the Influence. Talk about all the same shit, so definitely check us out. YMMpodcast.com.
This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout.
In addition to Fallout, Geeks Under the Influence takes over Wonderland on the corner of 18th and Main Street for Geeks Under the Influence trivia, ridiculous trivia, goofy music, great food, cheap drinks, 1727 East Main. Come and check us out 8 to 10 every second and fourth Tuesday.
So much booze. Holy shit. We're going to be fucked.
The Adroit?
Beer.
Yeah.
We are going to be
I have a bottle of this.
Fucked.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God. That smells amazing.
Tenebris?
Yes.
Tenebris? Is the S silent? Is it Tenebris?
I said Tenebris.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
You could be.
We are definitely going to be fucked for the second half of this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Thank you,
like,
guys.
13, 12.
I'm making sure I might be calling it
for joining us for the second half here.
Holy shit, this smells amazing.
Before That's we fantastic. Get back into Indiana Jones, we're going to do what we always do on the second half, which is what we are drinking, and we've got plenty.
Oh, my God.
Plenty to drink on the second half here.
Yeah, Hobbit and I stopped at this brewery when we did our
road
trip after
my birthday.
Oh, my God,
this is good.
Yeah, Adroit Theory, which, by the way, like, sung its praises after
that's
we went.
Good.
This is
fucking good.
Now, Lowdown, what did you bring from Adroit?
I brought their barley wine. It's called Tenebris.
This is,
Again, East Coast local bitches, and that's a 10%, and there's no 10% going on there.
It doesn't taste like a 10% at all.
It's 10%.
It is one of the most drinkable barley wines that I've ever had in my life.
I'm sorry, Hardywood. Adroit's got your number on that.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
When we stopped there...
Love you, Hardywood, but wow.
Adroit's got the... Yeah.
For the day after my birthday, I had that Saturday off, and I was like, Hobbit, let's go to a distillery. So we went up to Catoctin Creek. Yeah. And while we were up there, we were posting about it, and a friend of ours sent, well, while you're up there, go to Adroit Theory's brewery. You won't regret it, and dear God, it was fucking amazing.
Everything we tried, every single thing we tried,
every beer was good.
I did a flight of amazing, and then continued after the flight, going, well, there's other things to try, and it was just all the stout, porter, everything heaven.
And it's so wonderful to find.
And they were playing metal.
Yeah, they're playing metal. Well, and some really unfortunate metal also, but
like what?
That is just...
There was some, like, Disturbed and stuff playing.
That's not metal.
Yeah, well...
No.
But they had metal. Slayer.
They did play Slayer.
Because they just had the radio going, the internet radio playing the metal station.
See, Disturbed is not metal.
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
Because they make monkey noises.
Yeah, Down with the Sickness? Oh, wait, that's...
No, that's... Yeah.
That's Disturbed, I think.
There's something sharp here.
It is Disturbed, but I still think it's monkey noises.
It was a disturbing song.
Anyway, Disturbed is not metal, people.
Yeah, this is a barley wine, which... pops up at what's the percent?
10%.
10%. Percent.
It doesn't taste like it at all. It's fucking delicious.
That's amazing.
Oh, that is a tasty beverage.
It almost tastes sessionable, Jody.
This is very sessionable.
I don't know about that.
For me, that's sessionable.
You're also weird.
I totally think that. I know. I've got to agree. This is totally.
Oh, Groots, God. And
Groots is bringing us shots.
Groots has like a shaker and everything.
Shots,
like,
man.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, dear God. All right.
Brought his A game.
He did, dude. Like, this is, the German brings his A game to the.
In the entire time that I've known Groots, Indiana Jones is right up there with Star Wars for him as far as his love of stuff. So, like, I understand fully, like, bringing A game to this shit. Groots, what are you bringing to the table this evening? What are we sipping on?
This is a cocktail I created for this podcast.
What? Oh, no. What's it called? Okay.
This is called the Blood of Kali.
Kalima.
Fair enough.
Kalima Shakti Day.
There's some,
Yes, there's blood in here.
No, the,
Wait,
absinthe.
Real blood?
Absinthe's in this.
No, there's no absinthe.
It's,
What's that smell then?
Oh, wait, no, that's Jägermeister.
This is
Jägermeister.
The only time you'll ever have Jäger. Drink Jägermeister.
That's it. That's,
yeah,
it's
there's
that
fucking
smell
Jäger
of
in here.
Of
You're
course, you've got to you've
heathen.
Got to bring you've got to bring a freaking German...
This is Jägermeister and a port called War's Warrior.
Wait, it's wine and Jägermeister.
It's port, which is fortified wine.
Wine and Jägermeister.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Shall we drink to Chuck Berry?
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry.
Kalima Shatude.
Air clinky.
Chuck Berry, man. Chuck Berry. Fucking A.
All right, actually, that wasn't bad at all.
That's a very good mix there, Gertzi.
Good job, sir.
All right, I will put the mixer on the show notes for this episode. So if anybody wants to drink along while listening and do with the Blood of Kali, then...
He doesn't like wine, so he hates it.
We're going to start seeing things soon.
Yeah.
It's port and Jägermeister. We're not going to see
shit. That's the first mixer shot that we've had on an episode of Geeks Under the
port
Influence.
Port and Jägermeister.
That tastes like regret.
Yeah, because there's Jäger in it.
That is the Blood of Kali.
It tastes like douchebag.
Yes.
I feel like punching Short Round right now.
Actually, this tastes like regret, only because I haven't had it before.
With Jäger in it, you feel like punching any minority that's around, probably.
Including hobbits.
It's enjoyed by Germans and frat boys. So, like, that's about perfect.
Sounds like David Hasselhoff.
Oh.
All right, we got some other shares here too.
Yeah,
Dan, you brought something.
Yeah, I need empty cups here.
Yeah.
So,
but as you're getting cups, what did you bring to the table this evening?
Well, I have two things. So what I am pouring right now is actually is a it's by Devil's Backbone, so support your local. It's their Berliner Weiss.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, it's very delicious.
All right.
East Coast local is what you meant to say, people.
Yeah.
East Coast local.
Regionally local, as I like to say.
Fuck.
No?
No.
It's regional. We never did regionally local. That wasn't a thing.
Put some bass back in your voice, Hobbit.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
The little bit there is needs to go back there.
I have no idea what's going on.
Just hold on to the little
I'm
bit.
So high.
All right, so who drinks? Where's your glass?
No, he good. Doesn't drink beer.
He doesn't, I know. But
he's a German who doesn't drink beer, guys. Yeah, again, a German who doesn't drink beer.
It's really bizarre.
But I'm digging on the blood of Kali. So. All
right, so.
By the way, I just want to give a disclaimer to anybody listening to the second half of the episode. We've got so much booze to go through on the second half that I apologize for anything that's just about to happen.
Yes.
It's going to get really nuts.
Oh, this is going to be crazy.
Now, the Berliner actually has a very low IBU. It's only an 8. So
Jesus.
Yeah.
They're like one hop.
Pretty much. Which but makes then, it delicious.
Smells really right. good, though.
But then on top of that, it's technically considered a sour, so you're going to get a lot of sweet up front. Correct. Like Hobbit is experiencing right now, you're going to get sweet up front, but then you're going to get a nice kind of barley finish to it.
That's a tang at the back end of that.
Yeah, there's a hard tang.
Oh, yeah, there
there's
is.
There's a nice dry finish to it, which is good.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah. Something you can't say about me when I'm done with you.
There's a hard tang?
No, dry finish.
Oh, dry finish.
So in addition to what I've passed out, I'm also personally drinking Bell's Two Hearted Ale. So kind of an homage to Kalima.
Which that scene alone in Temple of Doom is what made that movie for me. When he rips the dude's heart out, and then the dude goes into the pit, and as he hits the lava, the heart catches on fire, and there's a dude wearing fucking horns. Even as a child, I'm like, that's the most metal thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
That is iconic.
But even as a child, I was like, wait a minute, how is his heart still beating if it's not in his chest?
That's what you're dissecting from it?
Yeah. No, seriously.
You're just like, I buy all this other shit, scientifically.
Excuse me, sir. That wouldn't happen that way. Like...
Yes, in your prototypical white voice, absolutely.
Why would one face shrunk, one face melted, and the other one blew up? It doesn't make sense.
Faces melted, actually.
I'm just
so.
Not buying it.
Went in concave. Uh-huh. Crazy.
I'm going to get Katie to dress up in the horn thing.
Don't need to know about your fantasy.
Kalima.
Kalima. And instead of my heart,
Indy,
cover
your heart.
Pull out my soul.
Cholesterol.
I'm in my 30s. If she could pull out my cholesterol, I'd be so happy. Like, that'd be great.
Clean up your liver.
I had a wellness check. My cholesterol is slightly high, and I need to keep a track of it.
Really?
So, avocados, yeah. Bitches.
Yeah. Avocados. I'm on medication for that still. It sucks.
Healthy fats. Eat healthy fats. It kills bad cholesterol.
What do we feel on this? It's definitely on the sour note.
But it's good.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
It's good.
I love it. It's a great beer.
I don't know how much I could take of this at a time, though.
I've never heard
said.
That before from you, really.
Yeah, yeah. this is definitely a sipper. Enjoy a little bit of it and then pass.
Depending on your palate, because it depends on how much you enjoy the sour.
Sure.
So. Personally, as somebody who loves sours, I think it's a great.
Not overly sour sours. Like, no. This is a good sessionable sour. It is.
I would agree. Oh,
yeah. It is. Yeah, it's not. It's not one of those ones where you get like overly sour and then overly sweet and then you feel like you got like. Type 2 diabetes just from drinking like
it's like
one
you got
beer.
Tongue fucked from one beer, seriously.
Yeah. You know, and then you got like the Wilford Brimley pops up in your sleep that night.
Diabetes. Wait, I met him last weekend.
Yeah?
He's a crotchety old motherfucker.
He was nice shit to me.
Oh, was he?
He was just talking, shooting the shit.
He was wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, he was.
Were you talking about the diabetes?
I'm sure he got a few people probably asked him about his
diabetes. Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. No, he was really nice to me. I went Sunday, though, so it was a lot slower, so I got to talk to him for a little while. He was really nice.
So faster?
What?
You said less slower, so it's
so
faster.
I got to talk to him. What did I say? I don't remember what I said.
That's fine.
You had a few drinks, so.
That shot is kicking in.
No, it's quite right.
Dude.
Have another one.
That shot is totally kicking in.
No, I said I got to talk to him for a little bit longer. That's what I said. I said it was slower, so I got to talk to him for longer. Because Saturday was a shit show.
at the con. It was a goddamn nightmare.
So. It totally was.
Yeah, they called Sunday the fire marshal.
But Lloyd Kaufman, holy
crap. They called
crap,
the fire marshal and shut the line down.
I got to go to his booth at the trauma booth, grab Lloyd Kaufman, and bring him back. It was so fun.
That's right. You were the gopher.
I was the gopher. I'm okay for that.
Low down kidnapped Lloyd Kaufman.
No, well, Frankie Bones came along. It was cool.
No, then Lloyd Kaufman was like, hey, this guy's creepy. Frankie Bones, come with me.
And like,
then
he's real. I was doing like three. I was like at least two times the size of Lloyd Kaufman. So he's probably like, hey, Frankie. Come. Actually, though, when I picked him up, he was Frankie was like off to the side with them, those two. And I saw Frankie like kind of like, you know, did that and like. And Lloyd started walking. He's like, I mean, if you want to come, it's whatever. Like, he didn't care. He was just going to come with me. But yeah. Frankie felt unsettled. Like, so that's when they came over.
So you picked up Lloyd Kaufman, is what you just said.
Picked him up. He wore Lloyd Kaufman like Yoda in a backpack in Empire.
Actually, I was going to think, it sounds more
I
like
want
a...
to see you leaping over logs carrying that man.
I'm sure he was having
I would
a blast.
Totally do that.
That
would be great.
That came out a little bit more Silence of the Lambs type, you know. I don't know.
No, but I want to give a shout out to Trauma for the interview.
Seriously,
and
though,
for, oh sure,
for everything
absolutely.
They've done with us in the past and everything. Trauma has been an absolute blast to work with. They're super easy to work with, and Lloyd and Frankie were great.
They were
on
great
the
guys.
So,
yeah, they were
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah. I brought a share as well.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh my! Tell us about it, please.
Brothers Craft
very
Brewing.
Very British.
That's a good brewery.
Little
they used
Hellion.
To be Three Brothers,
and that is why I brought it because it used to be known as Three Brothers, as in the three brothers from Last Crusade.
Yes,
yes.
That protected the Grail. So I figured that was about the best I
you
was going to do.
You chose wisely.
Wait, like
that's
Timney,
actually on
like,
tap at Hurley's.
Wait, so like Tim,
nice.
So
it's
like
good.
Tim the Enchanter.
What, little Hellions on
top? Grail?
Nice.
Well, it might not be now. They buy small kegs and just rotate a lot between those 20 taps. Mm. So things change daily.
Wow. That was
Did
really
you just
loud.
Open
There's
champagne?
A lot of carbonation in there, dude.
Did you just open champagne? Holy shit.
Apparently so.
No, I bought a six-pack of that. That's long ago, and there's a lot of carbonation in those beers.
I'm just waiting to, like, I'm going to pull up the audio to edit later, and I'm going to see this, like, hard fucking spike, and I'm like, that's where I popped the Three Brothers.
I mean, oh, God, that sounded so bad. I want you to think about that for a second. Wow. I heard a hard sound. And then
I have a joke that I'm not going to use because it's not better than what you just said.
Could you ringtone that, please?
God damn it. Yeah, please, dude. You got to make. You gotta do it to yourself. You got to do it to yourself, man.
Oh, shit.
That's no. Where I pop Three Brothers. Like, so
and drank from the fairy fount.
Holy shit. I'm not even going to try to recover from that.
No.
Like, I'm just going to move forward.
I'll expect an alert from you later on in the week
Jesus
where I get a sound
Christ.
Bite and I'm good.
I need a ringtone.
Seriously, dude. That needs to happen, man.
Honestly, like, to be fair, I've ringtoned
everybody
else. Yeah, that's my ringtone.
Yeah.
A big spike where I pop Three Brothers.
So I can't. Stop it. And we broke Lowdown.
So expect that to coincide with the release of this episode. Holy shit.
Oh, Hobbit, tell me more.
Stop it.
I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't recognize what I was saying as I was saying it.
No, you should be proud of yourself because that was amazing.
It was a split second so after. The minute I finished saying the words, I went, like, this is the worst thing I could have said.
Dude, that's the story of your life, dude.
Oh, shit.
No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
The words said after every one of his relationships.
Oh. Or every time he has sex.
What? No, this is the worst thing I could have said right now.
No, after this. Sex, it's normally, are you
Thank
okay?
You.
What are you thinking? Did I do okay? What's up?
Is it all right?
Is it okay?
Why are you leaving?
All right, so... All joking aside, what did you bring from Brothers Brewing?
To get back to Brothers Craft Brewing, Little Hellion, which is their lager.
It's good. It's really overly carbonated, though.
So they didn't have one called Short Stack? Or
It's very easy drinking, 4.9%, a super easy lager.
Oh, yeah.
Does it finish clean?
So the Three Brothers were super easy?
Yes. All Three Brothers... the middle brother gave me a little bit of malt. But
outside of what I brought to share, I'm also drinking Evil 8 by Blue Mountain Brewery. East Coast Local again, bitch. I'm East Coast Local all day today, yeah, man. Yeah, like, yeah. It's just scrolling through. It's a Belgian style double ale. It's delicious. I don't know.
We're never gonna finish this episode.
Nope, never gonna happen.
All right, we should just rifle through it.
Yeah,
right,
let's go.
Let's go.
I'm drinking Old Ezra, 7 years old. Nice sour mash bourbon whiskey.
Well done, Greasy.
I am drinking the Deschutes Black Butte Porter, which would be West Coast Local, and I'm also drinking the Ardbeg 10. Non-chill filtered, natural color.
Both are good.
Scotch should be.
Yeah, fair.
You don't like Ardbeg.
Oh, you're right, I don't.
No, you don't. It is peaty as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
He's had enough. Fuck a peaty scotch. He likes everything.
No, I would drink that and bleh. It's fucking gross.
And then I'm just going back to an old favorite, Bold Rock IPAs. Back out in stores on sale, so
it has never gone away. My Kroger's had the entire winter, dude.
The Kroger near me didn't have
your Kroger sucks big fat.
They're pushing that citrus one for like a few months. So
Was it the blood orange one?
Yeah,
is that the one you're talking
about?
Yeah,
blood orange.
The blood orange is still good. But.
That never went anywhere. My store did. You should go to a different store. Right,
it's one of those things. You go to different stores to buy what you want. I go to like 7 different ABC stores to buy the various liquors to keep mine stocked.
See?
Yeah. I go to the closest one in my house before I come
here. Which is like
here,
right across the street.
Yeah.
And that's why you've missed out.
Dan, you had two, right? That you were
We already talked about the Two-Hearted Ale.
Oh, okay. Two-Hearted and then the...
Yeah, Hobbit. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just making sure everybody got covered.
Keep up.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into Indiana Jones then.
You already got into Three Brothers. So.
We gotta do. All right. Before we continue, we have a new segment on Geeks Under the Influence that our panelists and a few listeners really enjoy called "Making a Drunken Scene." So let me play the theme music real quick.
Making a Drunken Scene.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giggity.
So we've got a few scenes here picked out. Well, there's Willie and Indy. Is there anybody else?
Nope, just Willie and Indy.
No, okay.
Just you and me, baby.
All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, baby.
I can be hard to handle.
I've had worse.
But you'll never have better.
I don't know. As a scientist, I don't want to prejudice my experiment. I'll let you know in the morning.
Why, you conceited ape. I'm not that easy. Fucking read of it.
No, sorry. I'm not that easy either. The trouble with you, Willie, is you're too used to getting your own way.
And you're just too proud to admit that you're crazy about me, Dr. Jones.
If you want me, Willie, you know where you can find me.
5 minutes. You'll get back here in 5 minutes.
I'll be asleep in 5 minutes because I am so fucking stoned right now.
Five. You know it, and I know it.
End scene. End scene.
And bow?
Right. Yay, and bow. All right.
Golf clap.
Next one up is from the movie that doesn't exist.
I'll do a slow clap.
Oh, I need a lot of Kali after that.
Crystal Skull.
You ready?
Yes.
All right.
I'm just going to... All right.
Here we go.
Grab on.
Rat snakes.
It's a rat snake.
Rat snakes aren't that big.
Well, this one is. All right? It's not even poisonous. Now grab on.
Go get something else.
Like what?
Like a rope or something.
There's no Sears or Robots here. Grab the snake.
Maybe I can touch the bottom.
There's no bottom. Now grab it.
Fuck you!
I think I can feel it with my feet.
Grab the snake!
Stop calling it that!
It's a snake! What do you want me to call it?
Say rope!
What?
Grab the rope!
Grab the rope!
You're supposed to say it with me.
Oh, sorry.
Holy shit.
I can't do this anymore.
It was your idea. It was your idea.
You know, this whole podcast was my idea, and I'm regretting both of these things at the same time.
I actually enjoyed myself for the first time on this podcast during that.
Thank you, Dr. Frankenfurter.
Thank you, sir.
That was pretty solid.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so finally, we're doing Last Crusade. I think it's the last one, right?
Yeah.
It's a race against evil.
End scene.
Please, what does it always mean, this Junior? That's his name. Henry Jones Junior.
I like Indiana.
We named a dog Indiana.
May we go home now, please?
The dog? You named after the dog? Ha! Ha! Ha!
I've got a lot of fond memories of that dog.
This one was a fail.
Yeah, that was a total fail.
We forgot the person to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's just fuck that scene. Yeah, we're done. We're done with that one.
Look what you did.
All right, now back into the actual meat of the episode, which is all things Indiana Jones. So let's get going on that one. We've talked about the first three movies. We've talked about the love interest of Indiana Jones. Is there anything that anybody really wants to start off with the second half with?
Yes, we do need to. We've already expressed a little vitriol, or a lot of vitriol, over Crystal Skull. But let's spend 5 minutes on that.
Oh, God, why? Why?
We got to.
Why?
I have a feeling we're going to spend more time on Crystal Skull than we do the other other movies because of how much fucking hatred I have for that fucking movie.
You thought I unleashed on Origins? You have no idea.
Okay, all right. Let me place my defense for the movie.
No, fuck you and your defense.
No, fuck you and you listen to me.
No.
Right? He's just playing the role of the bad guy.
This is called Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, let's let him Devil's Advocate. Let's back away. Let him finish his conversation before we tell him to get the fuck out.
As the biggest fucking indie fan, I fucking didn't loathe the movie on the same level as a lot of people did. And here's why. Here's why. There were no Germans in that movie. However,
that's why you should hate it.
No. All right. So a lot of people, their biggest gripe with the movie was the fact that it was about aliens. That was a huge
Blanchett
plot thing. Okay. That's a big one. Now, I didn't so much have a problem with that. The biggest problem I had with the movie was the fact that George Lucas and Steven Spielberg felt the need to try to trump the entire trilogy in one movie with ridiculous, like super over the top. Like all the movies are over the top, but they went so far further, you know, atomic bomb in a fucking like fridge. Okay.
Yes.
It's riding a Jeep down, not one, but three fucking waterfalls. Like it was so like over the top.
Don't forget the monkeys.
It took me out of the experience. Because
trying to make Shia LaBeouf cool. Like, that's really the main thing that I have an issue with.
Don't forget about the monkeys.
Shia LaBeouf was not the biggest deal for me. Okay. There have been weak characters here and there. Willie, I mean, however, it wasn't the aliens. It wasn't Shia LaBeouf. I thought it was just the fact they were trying to trump all three movies with one, and it went way south of heaven.
You already covered it.
Okay.
Can I just say one of the big fuck yous is the snake in the quicksand scene is such a goddamn idiotic scene.
Oh yeah,
if anybody can defend
it, covered,
please
by the
do.
Way.
Yeah,
like that's fucking awful. I at that point, I don't know how you can continue watching the movie from
there. Indiana Jones, a man that has dealt with so much shit in his entire life, and he's an old man. He needs to hear you call it rope before he grabs the snake. It's the most
fucking basic bullshit ever.
My biggest thing with it is like I look at some of the actors that are actually in this, like John Hurt, for instance, who I've had huge respect for.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. But if you were to ask him before he died, I guarantee you, like his first thought would be like, "All right, I never should have done that." You know, I was like, you know, you do some really great work. Even King Ralph was a huge step up from this.
No, fuck,
King
I,
Ralph.
You
have a valid point there. And exactly. That was a wretched-ass movie.
I love King Ralph. But
what
he, like,
the
even,
fuck?
But even
really?
his performance in King Ralph is so much better than what we had to experience it with this. Like, oh, what? You're, like, invisibly writing on walls and shit? Come on.
My other big issue was the fact that they relied on CGI so heavily
as
opposed to practical fucking
effects.
Yes.
Because it was so pronounced. And what year was it? 2008?
2008.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, we were at a time where CGI could look good, but they still relied on it so heavily. Like the ant scene. Come on, dude.
And not only that, but the ants were fucking terrible.
There we go. fucking end scene. Holy shit. I was in the theater watching that, and I literally got pissed off. I'm like, you're seriously doing this right now? This horrible.
It looked like horrible. A Sharknado level effect. It was like, how is ILM putting their name on this movie? Because that looked terrible.
Yeah, but like my biggest thing beyond that even was, okay, so you bring in Cate Blanchett, who is a pretty solid actress in her own right. I mean, not even thinking about The Lord of the Rings, she's been in like really phenomenal stuff, and she's been an amazing actress.
And then she does an accent that fucking parallels dude from Congo.
Correct. And here's the thing, she's supposed to be Ukrainian, so she sounds Ukrainian, quasi-Ukrainian in like a couple of different spots, but then there's even spots
Ukrainian
where
accent.
Correct. And she even sounds British in spots. I'm like, how do you can't as a director, as Steven Spielberg, you can't sit there and be like, okay, well, you just sounded British for the last minute of that whole monologue that you were just doing, so you can't, like, how do you even let that go to print?
She watched a lot of Rocky and Bullwinkle to get that accent down pat, right? Seriously.
Going to get squirrel.
South Park perfectly summed up this movie with the one line,
yes.
You raped my childhood.
Yes. Yes.
They raped him.
But like, tagging back onto the CGI, like, you remember the end scene where like they find the temple and there's all the aliens sitting up high? Like, when that whole scene of it crumbling and everything, that looks such, it was like such dog shit. It looked horrible. Yeah. I remember seeing it in theaters, I'm like, this looks, it looks like I'm watching a cartoon almost, with like live action people plotted into it. It's like I was watching Cool World or something.
I've actually forgot about that because I've only seen it one time in the theater.
I've only seen it once, but it looked like shit. It looked horrible.
Well, I think what that film ran into, that a number of other films have as well, is that there's a feeling that you have to trump the previous films. Mm-hmm. Like Groots was saying earlier, that you've got to make it bigger and huger than the previous films. And as big and epic as Indiana Jones was, what's the next move? Aliens? No, that's bullshit. I would prefer a smaller film where, like, you take the same premise where Indiana Jones finds out he has a kid and you go on a smaller adventure much closer to the first one.
And trying to abort Shia LaBeouf.
And trying to, like, physically abort him the entire time would be great. But to have kind of a... I guess the better way to do a I'm getting too old for this shit movie is much like they did with Rocky Balboa. I love the way they did that. Or also with Creed, take it in a totally different...
Pass the torch.
Creed was great.
It's a proper passing of the torch where they're not trying to make it bigger than the previous movies. They're actually making it smaller, making it more of about the characters than the actual grandiose scale of the previous films. And you have a character development and you have a character kind of profile. And that makes the passing of the torch work. You can't do grandiose and also pass the torch at the same time. It does not work.
No, you're right. I completely agree.
Does not fucking work.
Now, I will say this, is that I really got hard into the trade paperbacks in the 90s.
Hard?
Yeah, I did.
Like Brothers Hard?
Yeah. But they were good. They were pulpy novels you could read in like 5-6 hours. It's, you know, like they weren't hard. Super long. But they were good Indiana Jones adventures. Any of those would have made a better movie than Crystal Skull.
You talking about the Marvel Comics one?
No. I'm talking about the I think it was Bantam Books. They put out trade novels. Okay.
Yeah,
okay?
No, those were great. The video games even were better.
Video games
or
Fate of Atlantis?
Like how bad is it when you can actually look at something and say, like, oh, actually, this video game that came out 4 or 5 years ago is better than what we just put out?
Yeah.
Dude, I would love to see Fate of Atlantis as a movie.
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles wasn't bad either.
No. Well, Sean Patrick Flannery,
I want to touch base on that too, because there were two different series, right? There was the Young Indiana Jones, and then the War Years came out as well, right?
Well, no, it originally was released as a TV show called Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and it was re-edited in 2000 into 22 basically movies.
Really?
Yeah,
like many movies.
Like the set you can buy now. Okay, there's 3 volumes. Okay, there's like there's the early years, there's the middle years, and the war years. I forget the names. But there are 22 episodes, okay? I believe 22, 23, something like that. And originally there were 30-minute TV shows,
right.
And they were re-edited like 3 at a time. It was like one story into these movies. And a little bit of trivia, Harrison Ford actually shows up as Indiana Jones in episode 22, I think.
Yeah.
At a brief stint, it's supposed to be 1950, so it would have been right before like Crystal Skull. And he's like has this little like adventure, which is like the bookends to the to looking back to like his young Indiana Jones days.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's in it as Indiana Jones.
So if you're a diehard Indiana Jones fan, which is probably part of the reason if you haven't listened to previous episodes of the podcast that you're listening to this, there you go.
Yes.
Like, here's a thing, that here's your holy grail to find.
But they were great. They were great.
I was going to say the World War One episodes are fucking amazing.
Yes, yeah, with him with like Sean Patrick Flannery playing young Indiana Jones was just it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like the ones when he was like dreamy. A 6-year-old kid, you know, when they had when they bring in when they bring in like you know, like the one that I remember from that actually is when they bring in the guy that was like the coach on Major League to play like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm kind of like, all right, well, then you get to see like a younger version of Henry Jones Sr. And you're kind of like, all right, well, at least he's kind of, he's trying to pull off the Connery accent, which isn't easy to do.
No.
You know? I mean, it's actually, it's pretty solid. So like to go back and watch all of that, like I was watching it, I don't know, a year and a half or so ago when it was on Netflix. And I was kind of baffled because there were kind of gaps. You know,
yeah,
in it a little bit. I was like, all right, well, there's that, and then it didn't show a whole lot of it when he was like a teenager and stuff in the Foreign Legion, and it was just kind of weird.
Yeah,
but
it was kind of a Forrest Gump in a sense that he just like met everyone and was in all these different scenarios and like, you know,
or Doctor Who, like one of the other,
or almost like that he had to incorporate every aspect of everything that happened in that time period at the same time. When you do a flashback and you have everything that develops a character happen within 20 minutes.
Basically.
Like your clown episode?
Yeah. Yeah, basically like that. Yeah.
It almost makes me scared a little bit for Indiana Jones 5. That obviously isn't scheduled to come out for a couple more years. All right. But like when is this going to take place? Is it going to take place like during the 60s? Is that what's going to happen with it? I mean, are we going to have something 60, where it's like...
What? He's in fucking Vietnam?
I've got my head.
Here's the one
Indiana
thing.
Indiana Jones gets his leg blown off by a fucking because he gave a candy bar to a small Asian child.
Here's the one thing that actually makes me feel really great about it though, because when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, they didn't only get Star Wars, they also got Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
All right. So I kind of look at you know that last offering, which I don't want to talk about anymore. As kind of the same as the Star Wars prequels. Like, it's going to get better.
Because George Lucas was still involved.
Well, that's correct. What I'm going to say is with Disney in charge of it, look what they did with Harrison Ford, with Han Solo and Force Awakens. They could easily get away with that with Indiana Jones and pass the torch without doing a Crystal Skull scenario, but actually good director, good screenwriter, actually good fucking movie. Because
well, Spielberg's I'm
pretty
on.
Sure we're all united here. We like Force Awakens.
Spielberg is in.
Absolutely.
He's in.
Love
it.
So J.J. Abrams is going to rewrite Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No.
I would take that, though.
I'll take that over Crystal Skull.
You do this X-Men style where, like, there's in episode 5, it's like, turns out it wasn't my kid. And then you just move on with the rest of the fucking storyline where, like, Marion just got around and ended up having a kid. And,
the X-Men universe is completely ignored last
Stand. But you do the same thing where it's just like, fucking Mutt Williams or whatever the fuck his name is, like, is not Indy's kid.
The French archaeologist.
Or he gets aborted or something like that.
He like, dies, I don't know, checking out holes in a desert somewhere or something. I don't know.
Can we just make Crystal Skull like a fever dream that Indy had? It was like, oh man, it was weird. It was fucking aliens. Like, I had a kid that was a biker.
Like a reverse Dallas.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
A greaser at that too, man. Like, I'm going to comb my hair back, but
that would be Indy's worst nightmare. Is this like fucking, I don't like school. I don't like talking to, I don't like artifacts. I like combing my hair. And like that's his kid.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah,
totally.
But there needs. I would love a throw off line. It's like Mutt, you know, died in a train wreck, and then just like just move on, and he's not even really that upset about it, and then just move forward. And it's like some other person, like understudy that he's known for years that we never heard of in previous films, that like he thinks of as a second son that shows up, and it's,
or maybe it's his grandchild,
or maybe,
and it's Jay Baruchel, and then
God no,
maybe all right, we're done, Anthony.
Maybe it's 30-year-old freaking like Short Round.
There we go. That
I'm
would
in,
be
no,
that,
I'm in.
No,
I'm fucking
I'm
in.
Totally
I'm
in for
yeah.
that.
Get that kid out of fucking retirement, man.
No shit.
Or bring in the dude that played Sulu in Star Trek. There you go. Abrams connection. So
there we go. There
you go. Except he changed Asians.
Whoops.
Like, wait, you go from Vietnamese to Korean, I guess, at that point?
Was it Chinese to Korean, I think?
Well, Europeans think are interchangeable, so are Asians.
Exactly.
I don't fucking care at this
go.
Point.
Holy
shit.
Oh, God. Yeah, there goes our Chinese market.
shit. Free Tibet.
You tell me the difference between the French and the German other than their ability to surrender. I can't tell the difference.
I'd say there's a big difference with their wine.
Yes.
German wine is fucking terrible. French wine is delicious.
I'm saying Germans make beer.
Isn't German wine just complaining that they lost
them.
The war?
German wine is sweet like the tears of the Jews they killed.
Oh.
You said it.
Damn. I was like, Groot's rebuttal?
Oh. I got nothing, man.
So you know how sweet the Jews' tears were then, right?
I just heard it from Groot's.
Oh, so
it
was okay.
No,
he drinks them every Tuesday.
Yeah.
What's really in this?
With this
Kali Ma, blood of Kali
Ma. Let's brainstorm here. We're talking about they're talking about Harrison Ford coming back for a fifth Indiana Jones movie. Let's brainstorm. What would we like to see? What should Indiana Jones discover? What is the big thing that he's looking for? The focus of the film.
Mm.
We've done the lot. We've done the Ark, and we've done the Holy Grail.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and we've already done
the child slavery and weird glowing stones that has nothing to do with anything in history.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So
we'll bypass that because it's not actually history based.
We go like King Solomon, maybe.
No, they already covered that in Alan Quartermain.
Alan Quartermain.
No, but the
some
Alan Quartermain
ripoffs.
But Alan Quartermain is a completely different. I mean, that's completely separate.
No, but
so.
that's way too much life imitating art, imitating life. Where Alan Quartermain was a direct ripoff of Indiana Jones.
No, absolutely.
Indiana Jones is like.
Or wait,
you.
Or was it the other way around?
We're doing no
because Quartermain.
No, it was definitely post indie.
It was post.
Yeah,
from a movie standpoint, yes, but.
Yeah.
The golden tablets of Mormonism that were lost after he translated.
Oh, that would be
them.
Hilarious.
Oh, he's so good.
That's the name of the episode is Indiana Jones and the Golden Tablets of Mormonism.
Oh, no, I do like
hands
it.
Down.
I do like
get Trey Parker and Matt Stone
on the mouth
in on
worse
this.
Than on the face.
Well, no, but how about something, in all seriousness, how about something like Egyptian? You know,
no,
because
no, no,
he's covered.
No. Indiana Jones and the lost files of Obama wiretapping Trump.
No.
It's
gonna be huge.
But why not do a Middle Eastern religion and artifact?
No,
like,
seriously.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a pretty good idea. They haven't really touched on that. Everything's been Middle Eastern, but it's not like
you could bring
Salah
back.
It's still Christianity.
You could totally bring Salah back with that.
You could totally do
or
Eastern.
Treebeard,
yeah,
or Treebeard, or Gimli.
You could. Do, there's one. A huge swath of stuff you can do in that. Religion.
Dude, Library of Alexandria,
the fucking the Clay Army.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a whole lot going on. Ancient religions, man, that are predate Christianity that we can touch into.
Yeah,
but to be fair, they are no match for a blaster. They are definitely
fucking Fate of Atlantis. Still Atlantis. Come on.
Find
the Lost City of Atlantis.
That's another great one. Yeah,
that would be fucking amazing.
It was a video game.
Yeah,
make it into a movie.
The Staff of Kings was another good one.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Indiana
yeah.
Jones and the early rewrites of Dianetics.
Yeah, see Indiana Jones talking about Thetans.
Yeah, man.
Now, I saw some rumors where they were talking about with the fifth movie, possible people, and I think they brought up Chris Pratt as one of the main.
No, that's an old rumor.
No,
yeah, that was like 2 years ago.
No, but I'd heard that too. So I mean,
but to me, that makes sense. If you're going to pass
as a
torch,
young indie.
Yeah, but yes. I'm saying passing the torch, you know.
I agree. When I first read that, like right after Guardians came out in like 2015 or 2014. Like they meant, and it was after Jurassic World. It was
yeah,
after
Jurassic
it was
World,
right around
yeah.
Jurassic World release in 2015. They mentioned him being a young indie, and I get that, But at the same time, like, I don't see that really happening because, like, they're pretty much getting ready to go into production for Guardians 3. And I don't really see him.
They can take their time. If they don't rush it and they make a good movie, but I don't
fucking
care.
But they do have a. They've already said that they're doing another indie movie and they're going to have a deadline. If, like, the deadline for indie, the next indie movie is the same deadline for Guardians 3, that's not going to be Chris Pratt. You know,
I love some Chris Pratt. He's
I do. I do. He's amazing.
But he doesn't.
It's phenomenal.
The man can't pull off the intelligence needed for an Indiana Jones.
That is so true, though. That is, he's got
well,
the,
no, he's no, got no, the no, adventure, but he can't pull off the
I'll
intelligence.
I'll say this. He can't pull it off so far. Okay. Now,
are you
seriously
saying he would 21 Jump Street Indiana Jones? Or, like, it's a little bit more zany, but you totally appreciate it because it's still fun, but it's not the same thing as the original?
No, here's the thing. Like, I think it's more of the we've never seen him do it.
Because he can't.
Okay.
I think he tried to in Passengers, and the movie failed.
I never saw
it's a sci-fi movie. I mean,
he failed in that, apparently. But apparently, that's where the intelligence part came in, and it got like 20% of run. Yeah. So,
was there anybody else? Is there anybody that somebody would see as a good like
young indie like take passing the torch?
Jason Statham.
Oh, fuck
no.
Well,
We don't need a bald Indiana Jones. Okay.
Listen up, Nazi.
Do the British accent, dude.
Listen
you know
up,
I
Nazi.
Can't.
Well, then don't try.
Listen up, Nazi.
What I'm saying is, though, think about it this way. We can all come up with ideas, and that's actually a really hard idea, but did we all think that we would get the Creed crossover that we did?
No.
No. Look, that was literally the best passing of the torch movies I've seen in a long time, and that was out of fucking left field, that movie was. And, who's to say that we're not going to get the same thing within the next indie movie? You know,
we're going to need a relatively unknown.
I would agree, honestly.
All that dude did before was the Fantastic Four movie, and what else did he have in his regime? His
not
resume?
Much, not much at all.
The shitty third Fantastic Four movie.
Oh wait, so the guy that's
who
directing
that?
The new Indiana Jones?
Nobody, not even he saw that.
Wait!
The
Scotty...
third Fantastic Four movie.
No, I finally saw it.
Oh, how was that? Did you
watch it
yourself?
Like on
no,
purpose?
No, you're good.
It was free on HBO, so I sat down and I watched it. And
the whole thing?
Over three times of trying, I finally finished it.
Okay. You passed out.
Why?
Okay.
Why?
It's morbid curiosity, and it's really so because I'm a big Fantastic Four fan in the comics.
Why?
It's really, really not good. Like, it's super, super duper not good. Like, if there was an additional duper I could add to that without it getting weird, I would add the duper.
You could just say super. You could just say infinite duper. Infinite duper.
It's infinite duper bad. Yes.
No, it makes the ones with, like, Jessica Alba and everybody look, like, so fucking
it looks,
amazing.
That's depressing. Like, that's very depressing.
It's almost like looking back
ass.
On Bush as a president going, like, he wasn't that bad.
Well,
actually, we can say that now.
Currently, that might not be an issue.
I'm saying right. It's like, it's
at
the,
least
it's
you
the
can look back on Bush and go, he seems like a nice guy.
So I'm saying that the newest Fantastic Four is the Trump of superhero movies.
Like, grabbing pussy.
You remember,
right
you remember when,
no
like, right when Obama got elected, like, the first couple of years, you kept seeing the pictures of Bush and said, miss me now? Those are more prevalent now.
Oh, yeah, super.
Than when Obama was
born. Oh, yeah.
Were,
yeah.
Holy shit. My comparison. Commie girlfriend flat out admitted that she misses Bush.
Because Trump.
No, she she was actually just talking about her college years.
Oh.
Different thing.
Well done.
Entirely.
Well done. Yeah. Good job, sir. Good job. But no, seriously, I think that when it comes
like
to
a clit.
When it comes to a passing of the torch, we're going to get an unknown low-level actor that's going to come in and it's going to just knock our fucking socks off. As happened with Creed for me.
Now, here's the trick, and this is what I worry about with somebody playing a new Indiana Jones, is how it's what I was worried about with Star Trek being rebooted, is how do you do justice to the character without just doing your impression of the actor doing the character? That's really the hard part. I mean, you saw a little bit of that. I love Carl Urban. But he was totally doing his version of Bones.
It was
I
so
think
good, though.
He did his own take on it, is why it kind of.
It was
sold,
really good, though.
But,
it was really good.
What I would say is that we're going to find out real hard in a year or two when the Han Solo prequel movie comes out. Because the guy they cast for him.
I know.
The only time I saw him was in Inherent Vice, Paul Thomas Anderson movie. And,
yeah.
You know, he played this little
Phoenix.
Cowboy dude.
Yeah.
You know, and he was an unknown actor. Sort of thing, and he's going to be the new Han Solo, so we'll see how that fucking goes.
you have him incoherently mumble throughout the movie like the new Mad Max.
Whatever, dude. Don't hate on Tom Hardy. Don't even hate on Tom Hardy.
Oh, I
man.
Love that movie, but he incoherently mumbled throughout that movie.
He just made it personal when he attacked Tom Hardy because he's got a hard on for a Hardy.
I do, man. Have you finished Taboo yet?
No, I've got like
the
two
way
more
I figure,
episodes to watch.
He overstudied for his role in Lawless, and it just kind of stuck.
No,
much like...
he went from Bane to Lawless, and you pretty much get the same character. He's like,
oh, well,
I haven't watched Lawless yet, so did he talk the same and everything too? Like,
he talked really low and gruff, but not as like regal like he did in Bane. Like,
sure,
he had that
was
regal
it like
thing going on? Weird.
We give it back to you.
Yeah. You didn't have that.
Yeah, but
it,
if he said that in Lawless, he'd be like, we're giving it back to you.
Yeah, exactly. That would be, and then he'd hit you with the fucking brass knuckles. But no, don't hate on Tom Hardy, sir.
I do not.
Because you're right, Bronson is a shit, and that was actually what got me on the Tom Hardy train was like 2012, I saw that shit.
Quickly before we conclude, because we're very close to the end here, let's talk about some of the knockoff movies that came from Indiana Jones.
Romancing the Stone is awesome.
Romancing the Stone is absolutely fantastic.
The second movie sucked.
But Romancing the Stone
is a person?
Winking the entire time that it's a knockoff of Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Like the entire fucking time.
I mean, it was the purpose, wasn't it?
We already talked about the Alan Quartermain movies.
Alan Quartermain.
Lost City of Gold.
And
King
Solomon's Mine.
King Solomon's Mine. Which had a great opening, by the way, with the spikes coming down and killing the guy.
Wasn't James Earl Jones in one of those
in
movies?
The second, yeah.
In the second movie.
And
yeah.
Sharon Stone was in both.
I was about to say, Sharon Stone was in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had big... And who was Alan Quartermain? In the,
Richard Chamberlain.
Richard Chamberlain.
Those big, were fun flicks, man.
No, but they were so, like... balls to the wall campy. I mean, where they don't hold up. Like the Indiana Jones movies, I rewatched some of those getting ready for the episode, and they hold up. I mean, they're campy. They're supposed to be campy. They're fun as shit, but they hold up. Alan Quartermain does not hold up at all.
They hold up in only the nostalgic.
The cheesiest.
Just like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
No, you know what actually holds up a lot better is Nathan Drake in the Uncharted series.
True.
It's like, I'm sorry, because that... That to me, from the first time that I started playing any of those games, I was like, all right, this feels a lot like an Indiana Jones.
Because it's adventure. Pitfall updated.
Because it is. Yeah. It's Pitfall updated, I mean, and you get a lot of the same thing, where like you're looking for a specific artifact, but you have to go through a lot of shit.
Well, we talked about on the break, I think it was Crump that said, did anybody else feel like Pitfall was basically the video game version of Indiana Jones, where he's just like... swinging over pits the whole time.
Alligators and it's like pits, and then you have pits and alligators, and that was pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, that's basically
the first two
Indiana Jones movies in video game form. And then
I always imagined that when I was playing that as a kid, it was like, all right, well, I'm not swinging over just like alligators. Like, I'm actually, this is a whip that's kind of hanging, and I'm Indiana Jones going across.
Yeah,
it,
right.
You know, when I was playing on the 2600.
All right, so I'm going to rattle off a few titles that are definitely worth seeing.
Hit it.
Jake Speed, has John Hurt as the villain.
Of course, Anthony's going to bring these like weird things villain. That our listeners or viewers are not going to be able to find unless they call some like Korean film distribution company.
They're out there. You can find them.
They're all out there. It depends on how far you want to dig, Anthony. And everyone wants to fucking spend a day digging for a movie.
You can find these.
Well, if it's Indiana Jones, I mean, yeah, you're going to dig.
Jake Speed, The Perils of Gwendolyn and the Land of Yik Yak, which is hilarious.
I feel like you're making these up.
No. Dude, I'm serious. I have the posters for these. They're fucking amazing.
What's the Avocado Jungle one?
Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle.
Yes.
Of Death,
yes.
With what's his nuts?
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, yeah.
Bill Maher is in it. Yes.
My ass.
Shit, yes. I've seen that.
Bill Adrian Barbeau. Adrian Barbeau's in that.
Bill Maher is actually in a movie.
Adrian Barbeau. Yeah.
Whammy.
Being a
what's his face died recently, right?
Bill Maher is in it.
Other
I don't think she is. He's a misogynistic douche in it.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so he plays himself.
He's the adventure guy. He's the indie character.
Way less hookers and blow. In the movie, but
and I will say one of the bigger ones that a lot of people know, of course, is Firewalker with Chuck Norris.
Yeah, sure.
And Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
These Chuck all Norris. Came out in the 80s within like about 4 or 5 years of Indiana Jones, you know, and they all just they're just knockoffs. They're in one way or another, they're all knockoffs, and they're fucking fun. They're bad, but they're fun.
You mentioned Adrian Barbeau. I was going to say, you heard that one of the co-creators of Swamp Thing,
Bernie Wrightson, passed away today.
Today.
No, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, way to bring me down, man.
No, I was just, it hadn't been brought up either. I'm just like, I like Alan Moore's run of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, the man who created it is the man that deserves the credit for it.
Now, we did mention the short round connection to Goonies earlier, but Goonies is definitely a homage to Indiana Jones.
Oh, I mean, of course.
It's basically a little kid version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you find a map, and then you got to find the X on the map. Basically.
Yeah, it's so completely.
Well, it was also Spielberg produced.
Correct.
And,
yeah.
I mean, anything Spielberg touches is basically magic.
I think Spielberg got the Lucas taste out of his mouth. He was like, I'm going to do this with kids because I'm really good directing kids. And so he did like the kid version.
Yeah. And you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier before the podcast. But, you know, there's a scene in The Last Crusade where he talks about the X never really marking a spot.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, of course, they go to the library and it's like, oh, X marks the spot. And, of course, they get, and I hate to bring it up again, but the Crystal Skull, we're talking about like X marks the spot when they're actually looking at the map and everything for it or where they're supposed to go. And that to me was like just the epitome of how horrible that movie was. Like, all right, Last Crusade was kind of the perfect ending to everything. They ride off into the sunset, for fuck's sake. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. They ride off into the sunset. They already had the whole thing where it's like, all right, X never marks a spot, but then X actually marks the spot. And then they turn around and they just kind of screw everything up again.
That's why there's three movies. Only three.
And that's why I think moving forward with any project, producers need to understand that there needs to be a very good reason to reopen a movie series. It's not just because of money, but you've got to have an actually really legitimate script to find reason to start that story again. It can't be just because money is good. You're going to ruin the entire like series of movies for people. You're going to make people so pissed at your movie company where they're writing the fucking CEO of the movie company and shit if you don't have a really good reason to start that story again.
All right, I can't believe this actually hasn't... Well, I can believe this hasn't been brought up. The Big Bang Theory thing about Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indy was useless to it, that everything would have happened without Indy.
Yeah.
Sort of true, but it's not true because the Nazis wouldn't have found Marion or how to find it without Indy knowing that Marion had a way to get to it.
Air 5.
So,
Air 5.
Fuck off, Big Bang Theory. There you're wrong.
Yep.
They're wrong about everything, and that show shouldn't exist.
That show is fucking hilarious.
I actually enjoy that show.
The first five seasons.
The show was pretty funny.
That show is basic nerd as fuck.
Yes, so.
It's basic.
And what's wrong with that? You're a basic German.
What's the point?
It's a little bit of Nazi? Stereotyping on nerd and everything.
It's not a little bit of stereotyping.
It's cheap. It's cheap puns, man. It's not even funny. Like,
so wait, so you're saying basically they're just pandering to nerd
Shakespeare is based
bases?
On cheap puns.
Yeah, well, he's all right.
Ultimately, what I've learned from Indiana Jones is the fact that from the film series moving forward is that if you want to do another Indiana Jones film, you got to have a really good script, a really good idea on why to put him back out on the horse. Because if it's like there's a thing and you need to find it, that's not enough. You need to build it up more than that because the quest for more money has already been taken by Mel Brooks doing another Star Wars film. That's already been taken. So
You mean Spaceballs?
Spaceballs.
No. He's doing another Spaceballs movie, and it's called The Funds Awaken, The Search for More Money or something.
Yeah, but you said Star Wars. He's doing another Spaceballs.
No, but I'm saying Mel Brooks is doing another Star Wars parody movie.
Yeah, Spaceballs too. Yeah.
So these are not parody movies. This is a continuation of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
If you were to do a parody movie, go to town. Fuck yeah. But this is stuff that's connected to stuff that we absolutely love. You're going to get so much fucking backlash unless you have the right people in place doing the right thing with the right storyline to make this necessary. That's the trick. Make sure the storyline is necessary. Does Indiana Jones need to have another story? If you have a story where you have Clint Eastwood directing old Indiana Jones in a nursing home, getting curmudgeonly because he can't walk well and he wants to go on adventures, but he can't. I will watch the fuck out of that movie. I'll watch that better than a movie about Indiana Jones, who should be incontinent, finding the kingdom of Trump's like fake wiretap calls. You know, like. But
wasn't that basically what the Indiana Jones Chronicles was all about? I mean, that was old Indiana Jones, like with an eye patch, basically recalling old stories that happened that had nothing to do with the movie canon.
And still better than Crystal Skull. That's what I'm saying.
No, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, make it at least believable. Because Crystal Skull, there was nothing about that that was believable to me. So we're at the tail end at this point, and we got to pee and smoke cigarettes and drink more beer. So thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Find us every week on GUIpodcast.com or on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn, anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us and join the conversation. Let us know what you want to hear on future episodes. You can also find us at geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. And as always, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Prepare to meet Kali.
Hey, Hobbit.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you don't to resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an eye of fists. So join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.